If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tonight's video is part two and final of this hiker's horrifying experience in the wilderness in the state of Illinois, in this creature he encounters. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now let's get spooky. I was a decent shot. Nothing spectacular, but I could get a nice grouping on a target the few times I was able to get down to the range in practice. But I'd never once considered actually shooting a moving target. Six thunderous bangs exploded out the mouth of the gun as I cocked the hammer and pulled the trigger as quickly as I could, interspersed by two wet pops. Without the usual luxury of earmuffs worn at a range, my ears filled with a tetanus-like ring, a dagger-like pain exploding in my wrist. Several of the shots hit nothing but air, as expected, disappearing through the canopy above into the sky. Yet by some stroke of uncharacteristic luck, the third and sixth shots made contact. There was the sound of cracking wood, followed by wet pops as the metal projectiles rippled through the beast, splintering its makeshift wooden exoskeleton. Its tentacle limbs were limp momentarily, surprise somehow apparent even in its utterly unfamiliar features. The distraction enough to make it lose its balance amongst the treetops it had been darting between. It was sent plummeting nearly 30 to 40 feet from the canopy, hitting the ground with a blood-curdling shriek. And other forest detritus flew out in all directions, the sounds of its massive form meeting the earth louder than the shots had been. The cursory thought that perhaps the shot from my little revolver might have dealt the horror a legal blow was foolish, but its reaction at least confirmed to me that I had hurt the horrid thing, which was a source of light amongst the seeming darkness of my predicament. It started twitching and thrashing in a way that was reminiscent of an insect writhing under the effects of some poison, as the landing had done some neurological damage, the movement made even more awful by its form. Eventually, it ceased the stomach-turning twisting and nodding in its strange form, worm-like in a way that made my skin crawl, setting into a heavy, breathing mass of wood and whatever the sleek black thing that lied beneath its bark was as it regained its composure. Projectiles of twigs, rocks, and other forms of detritus flew out in every direction, the sounds of its massive form meeting the earth far louder than the shots had been. It screeched out with a sound reminiscent of a car crash, the groan of metal against metal forced by traumatic force into impossible shapes. It was inconceivable from the vocal cords of any being I could think of yet. Somehow it sounded tinged with an obvious pain. I was sure it must have echoed for miles. I felt my eardrum shake, my vision doing the very same. I injured it. I was sure of that. The realization that I could even be capable of such a thing gave me a brief ray of hope, scorched almost as soon as it occurred to me that I had expected what little ammunition I kept on me. The gun was always meant to be a last-ditch effort for scaring off an animal, and never something I ever intended to use outside of a range. So the idea of carrying a load of ammunition besides what I kept chambered seemed unnecessary. Now, I wanted to hit myself for my laziness, though I knew such a thing as this could never have been anticipated. Still, my two shots would clearly not be enough to stop the coiling mass of wood, as evident by the thrash of movement as it tried to bring itself to its feet, struggling visibly with its injury. It let out another otherworldly cry tinged with a universally understood emotion. Rage. The gun was now empty, and I was again defenseless. Though the pressure of terror unparalleled still weighed on me, I had heard it, and the fact had offered me a sort of fuel to push me forward. The fire watchtower. It was as though a switch had been flipped, my mind recalling the tower which I had gone through great effort to avoid, and the rager it housed. I was certain the commotion of the beast's pursuit must have been audible from that distance, and I prayed that I could get close enough that I could call for help. I knew the signal would be spotty even then, and doubted I'd have the time to place a call, but surely the ranger in the watchtower would hear the chaos. What a singular park ranger might be able to do against this titan, I wasn't sure, but in the heat of the moment, it felt like a light at the end of the tunnel. The beast was still shaken, but regaining its strength more by the second. I could see the area my shot had hit, and though I wasn't sure what to expect, I was still surprised at the result. The wood covering its body for almost a foot around the point of impact had been shattered, like a broken exoskeleton, exposing something black and slimy underneath, spilling out of the opening. A wound on the surface of the thing, within the hollow shell of bark, bubbled with a dark red liquid. Several of the eyes lined its bark all turned on me, a hazy, fiery presence even in their alien gaze. No more time to think. I ran, not bothering to remove my boots this time as I trudged across the icy creek, clawing myself onto the opposing bank and running towards the tower. Water sloshed in my shoes and added extra weight to my clothes, which were soaked through my navel down. The crashing of movement behind me started again, as though a train was somehow moving through the center of the forest. It was up again, though I had heard it more than I thought it seemed. Its movement appeared limited, and that's a stretch of the word, to the ground now. Whatever damage I had dealt was enough to make the pulling its weight through the air infeasible. It's now slithering on the ground as I had first seen it at the clearing, pushing itself through the earth as though the dirt were liquid. It was slower now, but not by much, charging along the forest floor like some massive snake, only slowing down to stretch itself across the creek. I ran like I never had before. Every muscle burned and ached, my lungs stung with each breath, and the thud of my heartbeat felt life-threatening. The threat I was going to vomit lingered, my body undergoing a level of physical exertion I wasn't prepared for. I couldn't, though. Even a momentary break of pace would likely mean a violent end. I wasn't going to stop, driven forward by my most primal and survival instincts. The clearing had to only be a few minutes away if my memory served. An idea sparked and snapped in my mind. Without any thought, I pulled the revolver again, letting off the final three shots in a fury at the general direction of the creature. I could hear its movement shift, and with a momentary look back, saw it break its straight path towards me, veering off into the trees in a blur as the bullet sank into the bark of trees, or exploded into the dirt where it had been. Good enough. It was after me, but appeared to be circling through the trees, rather than barreling down the path like a train, making its approach less of a straight shot. I had bought some time. Trying to keep my pace, I reached into the camera bag, flying wildly around my chest. Pulling out the flare gun, I struggled as I ran to load the cartridge into it, my hands unsteady, but the sound of falling trees as the thing grew closer served to motivate me as I eventually got it in. For a split second, I worried about whether a flare could start another fire, having already seen the damage it could wreck in the forest. It might be for the best. I raised the gun to the air and let off a shot. There was a pop, not nearly as loud as the revolver's, and a hiss that grew ever distant as the glowing projectile took off to the sky. That thing, it shrieked, but the sound was different now, almost afraid, and I heard it come to a crashing halt. I considered looking back, but instantly thought better of it, unwilling to squander this opportunity to put distance between us. The path ahead was growing clearer, the signs of human intervention and upkeep growing more apparent. Familiarity bloomed in me, with it the greatest hope I had felt since the horrific ordeal had begun. I was close. The path ahead began to curve, and I knew that just in a few turns I was going to see the clearing. Then I heard it again. The booming roar of earth being displaced by something massive as it dozed forth, closing in fast. Too fast. No, no, God, no, I begged, my legs searing from the heat of pain and exertion. I ran straight through the trees.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Veering off the twisting path for fear of losing precise seconds. Branches clawing and whipping deep cuts into my face as I did, my breathing loud and jagged. I screamed, with what breath I could muster, calling for help, knowing I had to be within hearing distance of anyone the tower had surely had seen my flare. I could see it, emerging through a break in the trees ahead at the center of the clearing, which seemed to glow with the sunlight and salvation against the rumble of certain doom behind me.
Hurry the F up! I can't help you until you're out of there!
I heard the woman's voice before I saw her, but her words were all I needed to push forward. Heat radiated off the massive form, growing warmer along the back of my neck as it drew closer. The hairs on my neck rising as the cloying flagella of its would-be leaves all thrashed forward, occasionally reaching far enough to sink into my neck with a sharp sensation. I slapped at them frantically, my hands coming away covered in my own blood and that mucousy fluid. The opening in the tree grew, and the tower quickly came into view, and I could soon see who it was that had spoken out. She wore the usual polyester shorts, binge button-up, the wide-brim hat usual for a park ranger. But even through my frantic state, I could see the glaring peculiarities. For one, she held something large in both of her hands. A rifle, I realized, as raising its massive barrel as I approached until it was pointing right at me. No, not a rifle, I realized. A flamethrower. I was almost out, just about to reach the forest and clearing me, when something thrashed against my back with incredible force. One of the beast's wood-sheathed tentacles, I imagine, now looking back, sending me diving face-first into the ground. My head sank with impact, and the frantic shouts of the ranger faded into gargled background noise, as I tried to gather myself, turning to face it as it closed the remaining distance. The closest of its grasping limbs snaked across the dirt of the forest floor, and quickly slid up my shoe and onto my leg, attempting to wrap itself around my ankle. The bark dug into the leg of my pants, and I could feel something like a muscle starting to tighten painfully beneath it.
No!
It was my mind's singular, panic-driven declaration, a refusal of the death I was surely about to be pulled to. I dove forward with all my strength that I could muster from the ground, my right leg being extended out by the creature as it pulled, launching all of my weight into the clearing. I managed to clear it from its wanting grip, the jagged bark, ripping the leg of my jean and leaving a deep scratches on my skin in the process. But my heart soared in the instant I felt my leg come free. I threw myself forward into a stumbling run, managing to collapse in a rolling heap at the woman's feet.
Kill it!
I hardly recognized the belligerent panic in my voice, as I half-crawled, half-stumbled into a run, making my dash into the tower, which had come to represent safety in my mind, only stopping once I was halfway through the clearing and realized I hadn't heard the creature charging forth. The woman stood at the edge of the clearing, a weapon raised to the creature which made it stand at the very edge of the forest, as though somehow the clearing were a boundary. It rose to its full height, and I felt my mind wane under its impossible form. It stretched almost 30 feet, the bark that had concealed it cracking profusely and revealing what was beneath. It looked vaguely slug-like, large and black, shiny with the coat of some fluid. Its body was covered in bulging eyelids that concealed those piercing yellow eyes, long, eerily human mouths full of hundreds of sharp teeth. All from its upper middle section and above stretching long, dark tentacles, swaying eerily like branches in a breeze, those pulsing leaves, more like cells in my eyes, connected to their respective branch by thick blue veins. Yet somehow that thing bred straight from a nightmare was kept at bay. He and the short woman appeared locked in a battle of wills, neither breaking the other's gaze.
"I don't know how you survived the first burning. God forbid you turds from still breathing somehow, but you know what's going to happen next, bud."
She spoke to it like she was chastising a dog that had bitten someone, disappointment and genuine sadness in her voice. The creature hissed at her with every one of its mouths, those beady yellow eyes screwing into a look of pure hate. Despite all that I'd seen that day, I still found myself taken aback. The thing seemed to understand her, and the way she spoke, as if somehow familiar with the thing, apparently already armed to deal with it. My head spun. What sort of park ranger was this?
"I'm sorry about the others. Your parents, maybe. Really not sure. Reproduce. But you guys can't go around eating all the animals and patrons of the park. Sorry, kiddo."
She pulled the trigger of the device with a click, and the beast recoiled with another hiss and shudder of anger. For several seconds, there was nothing but the faded echo of its cry and the breeze rolling over the field. Another click, then another. Nothing.
"No, no, F, not now,"
the woman began cursing and muttering frantically, backing away slowly as she looked between the weapon and the creature mere feet away from her. I could see the confidence waver even in her posture, and the cold knot of dread in my swelled, this time not for myself. That thing, for the first time I had seen it do something familiar, human, all the more horrific given its nightmarish visage. It smiled, a crude, joyless expression, with every one of those razor-filled mouths curled up. She ran, letting the weapon fall to the ground as she turned and sprinted towards me, yelling something I could hardly make out through the pounding in my ears.
"Go! Run!"
she screamed, motioning angrily for me to flee. It was on her in seconds. The beast almost tackling her as it caught her in a tangle of its limbs, wrapping two of them around her legs. I could see the things covering the branches in a veritable feeding frenzy, their protrusions snapping in and out as they filled with little streams of blood, attaching anywhere there was exposed skin. She screamed, doing her best to slap them from her face, unable to reach her legs as the creature drew her near. It rose to its feet, causing the ranger to hang upside down by her legs, alternating between fighting at the thousands of little things latching at her face and trying to pry the vice grip of the branches around her ankles.
"I'm going to watch this woman die. She likely saved my life and is about to die for it."
It was harrowing, almost worse than the fear I'd felt in my own life. A strange sort of guilt mixed as I thought I had exchanged her life for mine. I remembered the deer, the way I'd found the thing torn completely apart like some stuffed animal, and for a moment pictured the ranger in its place. My blood went cold at that. A loud crack made me jump as the thing snapped one of its massive limbs into the ranger, who threw her arms up in what little defense it offered. The creature cried out in a rage of triumph, bringing one of its bellowing mouths within inches of her face, before repeating the act, delivering several more forceful blows. It was toying with her like I had seen my cat do with an odd mouse unlikely enough to wander inside. Several of its mouths spread into a smile that made my skin prickle. I racked my mind for something, anything I could do to prevent what I knew was coming. Anything I had done to hurt or disturb this thing before, I remembered. The woman hung there, dazed for a moment before spitting a mouthful of blood and saliva at the nearest of its eyes. It hissed, its hackles somehow raising,
rearing back and lifting her above the largest of its maws. Those jagged spikes of wood still bore the remnants of its prior kill as it held her over oblivion. It was like finding a diamond in a rough, the memory playing almost like a flashback. I grabbed the flare gun from my camera bag, loading the final flare into the chamber.
"Little asshole," she muttered.
It roared its response, lowering her into its mouth when... pop! The sound of the flare gun caught its attention in an instant, its body and every one of its eyes turning in my direction, mouth shutting in automatic response. It flung the woman to the ground with so much force she bounced, but still, she managed to half crawl, half roll away as my final flare whistled through the air. Its path curved and lollied slightly in the breeze, but stayed true to...
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Course. The creature yelped, something I had not yet heard from it, a sound of fear and surprise. It had been distracted, its strange fury and wrath directed at the ranger, making all but forgot about me and occupying its senses. It lurched to the side, moving its massive body with incredible speed as it managed to mostly avoid contact, the flare soaring into the alien canopy. The minor contact was apparently enough. A ringing hiss, like air rushing out of a balloon, filling the clearing once, then twice, then hundreds of times over, and I saw the gelatinous sacs beginning to swell with bubbling liquid and gas that glowed through some strange reaction. Flames darted hungrily between the blobs, which expanded rapidly, glowing brighter by the second as the reaction traveled with them. Its eyes darted in all directions between the spreading fire and me, fear and hatred glowing bright despite the unfamiliarity of its presence. It looked as though it wanted to charge at me, kneeling forward as if to do so, when the first of a series of explosive pops sounded from its canopy. One of the swelling masses had burst, releasing a boiling spray of the fluid from inside all around it. Some searing drops landed on neighboring leaves, setting them into an explosive reaction, repeating the process. The flames caught the liquid and burned white hot, following the trails of bloody fluid running down the monster's back to spread along the sides of its body. Glowing cracks spread through the dead bark of the tree, falling away to reveal the thing beneath. It was massive, and I couldn't understand how it had fit in the bark to begin with. It appeared to be a giant slug or something similar, with slimy black tentacles, many of which were now sizzling and burning with the blaze, thrashing wildly at what might have been the top or bottom of it. Throughout them were those swelling blobs, connected with deep purple veins that pulsed as though it was a heartbeat. Its yellow eyes on its black body burned with unreadable emotions as it tried to fight the flames spreading quickly along its body. What was left of its wooden exoskeleton was completely engulfed, and it seemed the mucus liquid it was covered in beneath was as flammable as the contents of its leaves, the fire rolling along its skin with ease. The cries of protest and fury grew airy and weak, eventually dying into faint hisses as the thing started to wither and dry under the spread of the inferno. I ducked away, feeling several flecks of the boiling liquid of those sacks hitting my face, as several more pop with a resounding finality, and the monster ceased its movement, falling into a rapidly immolating heap. It took several moments before I was willing to move, my mind unable to accept that the horror was over despite seeing it burn before me, half expecting the monster to lurch forward with a roar at any moment. But it didn't. The only sound coming from the beast was the hissing and pops of escaping gases from the dying blaze of its utterly charred form, which seemed to shrink until it was merely a few glowing embers in a slimy puddle.
I approached the ranger, who was already sitting herself up as she observed the aftermath. She winced slightly as she rose. Her arm swelled from what was likely a broken bone, rushing to her side as she fell back into a sitting position. I went to help her up, but she waved me off as she leaned back on her own good arm, taking deep breaths.
I'll take a second to catch my breath. I have to call this in and wait for backup anyways, which will be a while.
She took a deep breath, wincing.
Definitely broke a rib or three, she muttered. I'm Savannah. Call me Sav.
She raised her bad hand to shake, then observing its rapid swelling, thought better of it.
Thanks for the help. That was impressively quick thinking under pressure.
My mind was overrun with 100 questions all piling up to be asked at once. What was that? I asked the most obvious of the questions. Why did you have a flamethrower?
Well, I obviously have a flamethrower, the piece of shit. She kicked at the weapon on the ground. Because of those.
She nodded her head at the smoldering pile that had been the beast.
And what it is, we're not really sure. From what we can tell, it's some sort of gnarly parasite. Probably alien is my guess.
Starts off really tiny, almost looks like a leech, and burrows its way into the center of a massive tree. It grows until it fills the thing from within, eating away all the wood inside, and uses the bark as some sort of exoskeleton for its body, which is pretty vulnerable otherwise. Somehow, it only brought up more questions.
Who is we? Does the Park Service know about this?
My mind began to put seemingly unrelative pieces of the puzzle together.
Is that why this trail was closed? There was never a forest fire, was there?
She sighed, lifting herself to her feet with some effort.
Listen, you're full of questions. That's understandable. You were almost attacked by a giant tree monster.
I'm also in excruciating pain, because I was also pummeled by a tree monster. Also understandable. So I'm going to answer the few questions you just asked. Then I'll ask you one of my own. Depending on the answer, you'll go about your day as you like. And I'll head back to my post to lick the wounds until the backup arrives. Cool?
Depending on... Oh, yeah, okay. I muttered, curiosity taking a hold.
She nodded.
The we I referred to as my organization or group or whatever, the Rangers.
So the Park Service does know about...
Not interrupting, she said firmly, her eyes dark with irritation. I nodded to continue.
No, they don't. Or maybe they do and don't recognize it officially. I don't know. We're not the Park Service Rangers. Well, a lot of us are, but that's just because it makes the job easier. We call ourselves the Rangers. It's not just a U.S. thing, though. We're pretty big in Canada and Mexico. We keep an eye on anywhere in nature there are run-ins between people and the things that go bump in the night. It's our job to prevent shit like what you just saw today from interfering with the lives of general public.
She coughed a bit, wincing and grabbing her chest at the movement.
So no, the Park Service and the other Rangers at large probably don't know, but we've got plenty of people among them who do. And once I took care of clearing the infected area of those things, we were able to push the forest fire angle pretty smoothly and get the path closed to keep people from venturing down this way. Even took out the bridge to make sure any stubborn fools really got the idea.
She said the last two things somewhat pointedly, glaring for emphasis, and I could feel my face flush.
I guess one of those had survived somehow. We must have missed it. I hope so, at least. The alternative is these damn things are breeding somewhere.
She shook her head as if not wanting to consider the thought.
Now for my question.
She started, staring at me with a look of interest.
I take it you're an avid nature guy. Probably someone who enjoys going where others wouldn't consider. Given the gear, the path you're on, and the fact that you took it today, despite all of our very intentional warnings not to.
I nodded, not sure how to feel. She seemed to have read me.
You handled the situation relatively well, clearly. You got this far without it killing you, and technically saved my life under pressure.
I wanted to say something in argument, but couldn't think of what. She wasn't wrong. And now that the experience was over, I couldn't lie. I was feeling more alive than I could remember. Though if she was trying to elude all this of being some act of skill, I was strongly in disagreement.
I think I'll be out of commission for a while, and you're already quite familiar with this area, I imagine, and you've experienced firsthand what I'm out here to stop. We're always looking for new people in our ranks, and there's a specific but odd type most suitable. Animal experts, nature lovers, and others have all proven useful for a variety of reasons, and something tells me you'd fit in as a ranger. She paused. We'd get you a better flamethrower, of course.
She gave it another firm kick.
My head spun at the invitation to a group I had only just learned existed, and still somehow had doubts. I had a job, but it was nothing that served as any strong motivation to say no. I scoured my brain for logical reasons to reject, and found very few, besides the obvious.
Would I want to experience something like this again? If I say no, if I talk about any of this, will you guys...
I didn't want to say it, for fear that she would confirm.
Kill you? She laughed, then winced. Literally, don't make me laugh, it hurts.
No, with something like this, you could walk out of here right now and talk all you want.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Not to seem all sinister, shady group on you, but who's going to believe someone claiming that they were attacked by a tree monster and saved by a secret group of park rangers? Hell, I'd go share your story. It might be therapeutic and scare a few more morons off from doing what you did. I opened my mouth to argue, but couldn't think of what I was going to argue with. She was right. There was no way to tell my story in any public forum without sounding insane.
It's a big decision. I get it here. She ruffled through her pocket for a card. It bore the same logo her weapon had. The outline of a pine tree with a vague sinister figure lurking behind it. Three human shapes and clasping hands at the bottom, surrounding the tree as though keeping the force behind it at bay. Beneath it read the words, Rangers, in bold. The year 1999 beneath it in small text. Below that, what I took to be the group's mantra. To protect those who venture into the great outdoors from the evil that occupies the great unknown. A number ran across the other side.
If you make a decision, call. Otherwise, you should get going.
I didn't know what else to say, so I nodded, thanking her as I turned and left the clearing. The drive back home was silent. My mind was plagued by more than I had arrived with for once leaving the park. I tried to ignore what had just happened, to do what I've heard people claim to do with impossible experiences. Just move on, try to dismiss it as a faulty memory or dream, but I couldn't. That card just sitting on my desk, growing more tempting by the day. The experience was horrifying, nightmare-inducing, and yet, I couldn't pretend the exhilaration I'd felt wasn't greater than anything I had experienced in my day-to-day life. It's why I began writing this. I thought that if I share my story somewhere, I wouldn't be decried as a lunatic. It would scratch whatever itch is tempting me to make that call. I know that it was rough, though. As I'm writing this, I found myself more tempted than ever. And before long, I had done it. It had been her that answered, recognizing me almost immediately. The details of what followed are for another story, another day. But by the end of the call, my life had been changed. There are things that lurk in the forests of Illinois. Creatures that make themselves look like the trees and possess an insatiable bloodlust. I suppose to take this as a warning not to do what I did. Stay off of the closed trail no matter how suspicious it seems. It's probably like that for a very good reason. If you don't, though, it is not necessarily lost. Try and find your nearest ranger. You might just get lucky.